I've never interviewed anyone. Well, I can't say it because I've interviewed this person before. Kent and Cindy Rogers with us today. And everybody knows that Kent and Cindy, they're friends of Margaret and I, and we enjoy being around with them and known them forever. And the story of Kent is just an amazing story of God's wonder and God's graciousness to us. Kent and Cindy, welcome to Grace Point Radio and the Freedom Program today. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you, Ron. We're glad to be with you. And we just hope that something that's said will be an inspiration to anyone who's listening and help somebody else that maybe has need of real encouragement. That would be our prayer.
Well, that's typical you. You know, that's you guys. And it's amazing. Your story is just incredible. I want you to tell that story in a moment, because I remember when you said it's been 5 years the other day, you mentioned it. You know, 5 years already. Wow, that long that this has occurred. And it just really got me to thinking. I remember those days, and I remember the pressure and the anxiety. So, Kent, you and Cindy, tell your story about what happened 5 years ago. Go ahead and do that. Whoever wants to lead, that's between you and each other, and go ahead and tell your story.
Yeah, the situation obviously needs to be given a lot of input from Cindy, my wife, because she remembers a lot more about it than I do, actually. Because what I was going through obviously had me much of the time unconscious and unaware of a lot of the details. Cindy will be sharing with you some of the details as well. And it took place on January the 24th. Is that correct?
2020.
So, I can just tell you a little bit, and then she can kind of jump in and add to from the information that she has. I do remember vaguely that particular night, the ladies at our church was having a ladies ministry meeting of some sort, and I was kind of sitting in my little pickup truck outside just doing security for them, and I wasn't really feeling that well. I didn't really know why I wasn't feeling that well. It wasn't anything that I could tell was severe at the time. But I got through that process. And, of course, all the ladies eventually were dismissed and able to go home. And then so we come back to the house. And I think I mentioned something to my wife. I said, Cindy, I'm not feeling that well. I feel kind of yucky, I think is the way I said it. So I think I was going to try to retire, go to bed early. And I'm going to let her jump in and just kind of share with you what took place after that.
Well, he doesn't remember about a week of all of that. He has a week that his memory is just not there. But around 2:00 in the morning, he started breathing really loud. And it was unusually loud. And so I woke up and I went to check on him, and he was gone. Kind of hard for me to talk about it. But anyway, I called 911. It seemed to take forever for the ambulance to get there. And when they got here, they wouldn't answer me at all. Well, he wasn't alive, and they knew that. They wouldn't tell me anything. I had a friend that got here right away, and she kind of blocked me from the scene of them taking him out because he wasn't alive. And so they took him out to the ambulance, and my daughter arrived, and she went to the ambulance and knocked on the door and said, "That's my dad. Can you tell me how he's doing?" And the man said, "We just got a heartbeat." So that had been about 25 minutes altogether that he was gone. And they took him to Lakeland Regional. And the doctor came out and said he probably wouldn't make it, that I needed to be strong, and he would probably have sudden death, and the bottom of his brain was not functioning, that he would have brain damage. And they put him on a life support ventilator. And people just started coming in, praying all over the place, all over the world. I mean, there was a lot of prayer going up. And they put him on this freezing called hypothermia treatment, where they brought his body temperature down. But anyway, make a long story short, I think he was on a ventilator 6 days, but 3 days later, one day later, he was already squeezing our hand when we asked him something. And I remember asking him who the president was, and he said, he said the man with the hair. That was President Trump. Yeah. So he was already responding. My daughter put scriptures on the wall and all that, and there was a lot of faith. He was, you know, he was answering questions by squeezing hand and all that. Then I think 6 days later, they took him off the ventilator, and they moved him to another room out of ICU. And when his cardiologist came in several days later, Kent was sitting up in a chair, and he was shocked. He was just shocked. He couldn't believe that he was sitting up. And so he was a total miracle. And, you know, a lot of people, they ask about, did he see heaven, but he didn't. And Kent can explain that to you. He did come back with telling us the things God was speaking to him about an end time revival. And he can tell you about that. But, I don't know. Kent may want to say something now.
It was obviously a very unusual experience, having been put in the hospital. And as I said earlier, I didn't really know what all was going on. And finally, Cindy asked me, she said, do you want to know what all happened to you? And I said, yes, I do. And she began to share it with me and tell me. And, you know, because of the fact that I did die, people, you know, wanted to know, what did you see? What did you hear? I honestly don't remember seeing anything. I don't remember going to heaven. I don't remember seeing any kind of vision. I don't remember hearing anything that maybe was supposedly needed to be shared with me while I was dead. But I did receive, while I was in the hospital and still under a very serious situation physically, but I did receive from the Lord some very strong revelational insight about what he wanted to do in these last days. And the only thing that I can kind of think of is the fact that God maybe didn't show me all of heaven, because he knew I wouldn't want to come back if I saw it. But so I just, you know, was receptive to whatever God was saying. But there was a very strong and powerful revelational insight that God was giving me about the end time revival. And I may have shared this, Ron, the other time that we had did an interview, but a very strong revelational insight about what God planned to do in these last days as far as spreading the message of Christ around the world. And the revelation that I got was that God was going to begin to move among the people, the church, the believers throughout the world, wherever they may be, with what I called it. This wasn't what God said it was, but this is what I came up with the definition. It was going to be like a super anointing. In so much that, as it was noted in the book of Acts, when they brought people out and laid them on the side of the road so that the shadow of Peter would just possibly be cast on them when he walked by, as well as the other disciples. And that's what I felt in my spirit, that God was saying, I'm going to pour out a revival spirit in these last days. I'm going to be able to get the world aware of who I am and the fact that they can know me by simply beginning to do miraculous things, such as, for any of you that are listening today as you, as a believer, walks through any particular store or public place, someone in need of divine healing, you might pass them by, not even necessarily realizing their condition, but you walk by, and all of a sudden, the power and the presence of God for which you carry just radiates out to them, and they're healed. And all of a sudden, they begin to realize, you know, that you're the one that passed by them, and so they're going to begin to say, "Hey, what did you do to me?" And you may turn around as a believer that carried that anointing and respond to them by simply saying, "Well, I didn't do anything, but I can tell you about the Lord that I know that did it for you." And here's my analogy of all of that. If God produces a super anointing like that, so that just the believer, spiritual believer walking or visiting or whatever the case may be, provides the anointing through the Spirit of God for people to be miraculously healed, well, how many people are they going to tell that God healed them and how it all came about? I can envision that the understanding and the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ could be rapidly spread all around the world just by those events beginning to happen. They're not going to keep it a secret. They're not going to say, "Well, I don't have anything to share." No, they're going to tell those who want to know, "What happened to you? How did you get healed?" And they're going to say, "Well, let me tell you what happened. This person walked by me, and I felt a move of power that came inside of me, and my body was healed." And so I talked with them and I asked them, "What did you do to me, or how did this take place?" And they told me it was nothing less than the healing power of Jesus Christ himself. So in a nutshell, I believe that that's one of the ways that God's going to pour out his Spirit in these last days, as we know the Bible tells us that he will. And I believe a great spirit of revival is going to take place.
You know, Ken, I remember those days when we found out about it. I think, I don't know who told me, it may have been Wendell or Keith or somebody. I found out about it, Morgan and I, and we went up to the hospital, and it was like a camp meeting. Your visitors took over the waiting area. I don't think anybody else was in there but us. And there was folks, I know, Gene and Margaret and just all our friends and others. They came from all over. And we almost had to, you know, get a ticket, like number one, number two, number three, to get into the room. You know, it was like we were rotating. Oh, here comes another guy I haven't seen. Okay, you come here, take my seat, and we'll go out there and stand. And that's what happened during the time. And everybody in the room, as I recall, and we can call the names and we would know, they were all very positive in that room that day. We knew what had happened, and the stories and the accounts kept floating around. Someone would walk in, and the first thing they would say would be, because I did in Margaret, they said, "How is he and what happened?" That is the story of the day. How's he doing? Where's Cindy? Can we see him? And what happened? So that story passed around about 40 or 50 times. And we were waiting and believing. And I remember, Cindy, you came out for a few minutes. And you came out and said hello to the new group. Okay, because we'd rotate through. One guy'd say, "Well, I've been here an hour and a half. I think I'll let somebody else sit in these seats." And that's what basically happened. And we watched God work mightily. And we had impromptu camp meeting prayer. Someone would just begin praying out there. "Hey, I'm going to pray for everybody." Everybody that came in had their moment of prayer time. They come in, "Well, has everybody prayed?" "No, we haven't prayed. We haven't done anything." "Oh, let's pray." You know, that type thing. You know, it was interesting. It impacted everybody because people would come down the hallway to sit in that room because it was the room for the intensive care unit, and they would see what was going on. And several prayed and several believed, and they asked questions, and we told what we could without, you know, compromising anything. And it was a moment that I'll always remember. And I remember Cindy saying to us, hey, Ron and Margaret, you go back there and you see him. So we went back there and we spent our 2 minutes with you. But as the time progressed, Kent, Keith called me and said, you need to go up and see Kent today. Well, I can't go up today. Have you been there? Yes. Wait till you hear this, Ron, he'd tell me. And so Mark and I would go. And we'd walk in the room, and one time we walked in the room, you were laying down, and several other times you're sitting up in the bed, and other times you're in the chair. But the moment we walked into the room, you began prophesying. The word of prophecy came upon you, and we would just stand there and listen to what God was giving you during the course of that time in the room. The nurses would come in or the techs would come in and they'd wait. Then they'd walk out and come back as the Lord was dealing with you and prophesying. I don't know if anyone recorded what you were saying. I don't know. Cindy, I don't know if that happened or not.
But I know Pastor Wendell Smith recorded a lot, but I don't know if he still has it. But he turned on his phone for a while. But I know he even prophesied to me. Kent prophesied to me, and he was saying, one time he said, I don't know how long we've been here, but there's been a lot of changes. And he looked at me and he said, I feel the Spirit of God. He said, we're going to see God do stuff we've never imagined. And he talked about an end time revival. He said it won't be a regular church revival. He said it'd be about unity in the church and just things like that. And just it was amazing because he was probably prophesying a couple of days, I believe, and from the hospital bed.
Yeah. And you got better, right? Let's continue the story. You got better. And then what happened? Okay, you got better. What happened then? Tell us the continuation.
He went to rehab right at the same hospital. So he was in the same hospital counting rehab from January 24th until February 17th, I believe. No, 19th. He came home on the 19th of February. So he was there almost a month. And, you know, even then, they told me his heart was only, ejection fraction probably was only 15. And they didn't give a whole lot of hope for his heart ever getting strong again. But we went the other day and he got a heart echo and his heart is now up to 35-40.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, we had a doctor tell us his heart would never get stronger.
They don't know our Jesus, do they?
Right.
No, he was, and I remember when Cindy asked him that question, and he was basically in the doorway of my room, and she was, I don't know if she was trying to ask him without me hearing it or not, but I did hear it. She asked him, will his heart ever get stronger? Will he ever be better? And I remember hearing the doctor just say to her, no, it will never get better. But again, he wasn't Jesus. He didn't know what God could do and what God had in mind. One of the things, Brother Ron, now that, again, that was 5 years ago. But cardiologist had me on some medication that supposedly is very effective to help your heart regain the kind of rhythm that it needs to have. But anyway, if you're on it too long, then it does damage to certain areas of your vital organs. And it messed up my thyroid because he left me on it too long. And I didn't realize that was going to happen. And so a year ago was when I was having another bout with a lot of major problems with my heart. One of the things they did when I was in there 5 years ago, obviously, put in pacemaker defibrillator. So, and it never shocked me for the first 4 years. But when my thyroid went crazy, it disrupted my heart rhythm, and then it was causing my heart to stop and that sort of thing. So New Year's Day a year ago was the first time that it shocked me. And, of course, went to the hospital as a result of that on the ambulance, and they started doing some tests and all this. And for 5 out of the first 8 weeks of last year, I was in the hospital.
That's when you were in Tampa, right?
Yeah, partly in Tampa. Some of that time was in Lakeland, but the other times was in Tampa. In fact, the same doctor that told my wife that my heart would never get stronger was planning on doing an ablation of my heart, and he said, I don't really have the personnel or the staff here that would be needed to make that work right. So he said, I'm going to send you to Tampa. So that's how I ended up over there. And they did a number of things that, I had a couple of stents put in while I was still in Lakeland before they sent me to Tampa. And then at Tampa, they did a number of things there. They ended up not doing the ablation at the time because they said they found out my thyroid was messed up and that could be what my problem was resulting from. And it turned out that that's what it was. They ended up doing an ablation later and some other things that they would do, changing the polarity or the polarity rather of my a pacemaker. But here's one of the good things about it while I was in Tampa. Again, remember that the one doctor in Lakeland told me my heart would never be stronger. It never was going to respond like it needed to without assistance or whatever. But while I was in Tampa, chief surgeon there came in and told me one day, he said, we turned your pacemaker off. I said, you did what? He said, yeah, we found out that your heart was beating more properly without the assistance of the pacemaker, so we just turned it off. But that was over a year ago, and I haven't had to use it as an assistance to my heart rhythm since then. So it's still there as a pace or as a defibrillator in case my heart were to stop. It would shock me, but there's no assistance for my heart rate by the pacemaker now. As Cindy said, I had a heart echo done a few weeks ago, and the results came back. My heart's doing good, beating regular. And so we're very thankful for that. It's stronger now than it was some time back. So God's still moving, God's still working, and we're praising the Lord for it all.
Go ahead, Cindy. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I remember one of my low days at the hospital 5 years ago. I went out, I think, to go get something to eat. And pardon me, I will cry about this. A man was mopping that worked at the hospital. And he was singing real loud, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." And that was just God speaking to me.
Yeah.
it was an awesome time just to go out there and somebody start singing that. So such a true song.
Oh yeah. That's just, you know, that's wonderful. And when you think about that, I remember because you kept us up to date. You sent a lot of prayer requests to me that we could pray. Yeah, we could pray on the radio, and we did. And worldwide, people were praying for you, and and Kent, and we watched God work. We watched a miracle in progress, miracle in progress, and it's just marvelous. You know, we get together, the guys. You know, our group of closely related friends get together from time to time as a group and then individually. And when we see you, We know God's been in the midst. We saw you just days ago, and we knew God was in the midst. Mm-hmm. And you're miraculous, and you're the poster child for the power of God. You're the poster mm-hmm. child for the power of God. And when we look at this, look what God has done. Look what God has done mm-hmm. to all of us and you. And when I see you and you walk in so quick, I have to run to catch up. It's just amazing. And to see the hand of work in God's life. And that should encourage people. That should be an encouragement to them because of the very fact that we get down, we get discouraged, and things in life, as we go along, things don't go as well as we can. And we have a lot of listeners out there that go through all kinds of difficulty, like anybody else. And they listen to the station to try to find some hope and help. And your testimony today is helping somebody. It's absolutely helping somebody because, no, they haven't had the difficulty you had, thank God. But yet their problems are just as severe to them as the heart difficulty that happened to you.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's beautiful to know that they can be encouraged by what you're saying today and how God worked in your life and how there was absolutely a miracle. It's a miracle. I can't think of anything else. That's the only word I can think of. It was miraculous what God did because you were dead. That's correct. Correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was totally gone. There was no heartbeat, no breath, no pulse of any kind. But that was 25 minutes. And so, you know, if it wasn't God, it wouldn't be at all. I mean, because I in fact, I'll try to tell this real quick. If I don't know how much time.
You got as much time as you need.
Okay. Well, after I got out of the hospital and I was back, you know, we were still pastoring at the time and we were at the church. And one day, this was like 3 months, 2 or 3 months after what had happened originally. And a couple of firefighter men came up. They came to the door and they knocked on the door and they said, we're here. We need to do like a walkthrough of your facilities to see if anything has changed over the last few years so that, you know, if we were called out for an emergency, for a fire or whatever, we'll have a better idea of what the layout of your facilities are. So I opened the door, let them in, and one of them was just really staring at me strangely, and I thought, wonder what that's about. And he just kept staring at me. So I walked him through the facilities, and he asked me, he said, so how are you doing? And I said, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing a lot better than I was a few months ago. And so we finished the walkthrough and we go back to the office area. And he said, I just wanted to tell you, I was one of the paramedics that took you to that night. He was so amazed. He could not believe that I was still alive. And so, you know, I thanked him for being there to help and be a part of all of that. But it was like he was in shock. He couldn't believe that as bad off as I was, and of course he knew I was dead, that I was actually there greeting them at the door, walking them through the facilities and telling them about, you know, what God had done. So that in itself was a great testimony to that young man.
And what a witness to what happened. What a witness to what actually went on. Here is a paramedic, a first responder, working on you, knowing firsthand what was going on.
Yeah.
A tremendous, tremendous testimony there.
Yeah, we were told by a nurse that knows at Lakeland Regional that Kent coded several times that night, but they never told me that. So...
So that's more times where God's greatness and power came to bear.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, I don't know all the intent of the enemy of our soul, but I'm pretty convinced that the devil would have been real happy if he'd just been able to get me out of the picture and never have to worry about anything that I could do for the Lord. But God had other plans, and I'm very thankful for that. There have been a lot of challenges. I still have some challenges as far as some things, but it's so much better than it was, and still making progress and giving all the glory to the Lord for everything good that's going on.
Well, we've seen that, and here 5 years later, you said about the hospital, you got out in February, I think you said like 17th, something like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, look at this. Here we are at February 6th. So it's 5 years already, five solid years that God has ministered and strengthened and helped and encouraged and brought you along. And we give him glory. Yeah. Any words, anything else you want to add to this today?
Basically, I would just try to encourage people that as difficult as life can be at times, as trying as it can be, as challenging as it can be, you know, the first thing that we do as humans, we get discouraged, we get fearful, or we get, you know, frustrated, and all of that's normal. We're human enough that kind of stuff's going to happen. But I think what the Lord would want all of us to remember is that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So if he never changes, then that means his concern and love and capacity to help us and rescue us in our situations has never changed as well. He's always the same. And I've said many times, there's not anything that God has ever challenged with. Nothing challenges him. It's not a category of easy or difficult. He's not sitting off in the corner somewhere, wringing his hands, worried about, can I take care of this person's problem? He never has to do that. He always knows everything that needs to be done in our behalf. He knows what to do, how to do it, and the time that it needs to get done. And so I would just want to encourage everybody, keep your spirit well and high in the abilities of the Lord. Know that he loves you more than you ever realized. And just give him every opportunity to prove himself to you.
And that'll make the difference. You know, how about you, Cindy? Anything you want to add to the story?
Well, I just want everyone, if any of you were on the list of prayer warriors during that time, we don't take it for granted. There was prayer going on so many places, and we thank you for those prayers. And
we sure do.
And we want you to realize too how important it is that we all pray for one another, because that's what gets a lot of us through hard times. So it's so important to let people know you're praying for them and to follow through with it. And we just want to thank everyone, and you and your wife Margaret, y'all are just such a great support. And we just thank you for that and everyone out there. And we thank God most of all.
Amen. Yes. Amen. You know, Thursdays are a day for healing every day. And I think you know that at around noon, I have a emphasis. Monday, I pray general. Tuesday, I pray for families. Wednesday, prodigals. Thursday, healing. Friday, for revival, along with the other guests that come in and other things that we talk about. But these are the emphases. And today's Thursday, and today's the day I pray for healing. Kent and Cindy, why don't you take this moment right here, because we have people listening that are sick and afflicted. And if anyone knows the miracle-working power of God, you do, and the miraculous, and you even experience the resurrection power of the Lord. Would you spend some moments right here praying that God would minister to those that need healing in their spirit, their body, whatever need in their life? Would you do that for me?
Yes, we will.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Father, go ahead,
thank you for all that you've done for us throughout our lives and for everything you're going to do. You haven't stopped being who you've always been. You're never going to change because you don't have to or need to. You're going to be the same for us throughout any and every situation that we face. But Lord, there are those that are listening today, regardless of where they are, anywhere in the world that they may be tuned in. I pray that God, no matter what their situation is, no matter how severe it is, no matter how difficult it's been for them, God, I pray that you'll just touch them. The Bible tells us that you bore stripes for our healing. You did what was needed and necessary. You paid the price. There's no other price that has to be paid. You did it all. You took care of it in our behalf. And now, Lord, we just ask you to apply that response to the price you paid to their bodies. If they're physically in need of healing, if it's in their spirit, if they need spiritual healing, God, save anyone that might be lost and doesn't know you, and bring them to the knowledge of your saving grace. God, bring stability to those whose lives are just disrupted and torn apart for whatever reason it might be. And just let your love be there for them, God. Show yourself strong in their behalf. Let them see and let them know you haven't changed and you haven't faded out of the picture, Lord. Yes. You're still there in a very vibrant way for our needs and our circumstances. So God, heal them and bless them, yes, and raise them up and restore them and give them every portion of hope that they would ever need as they follow you. And we give you praise and glorify you for it all in Jesus' name.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Kent and Cindy Rogers. We appreciate that. The encore presentation of the program will be tonight, and they will be on about 9:15 because of the way we come on, 8:45, half hour later. About 9:15, they'll be back on, and we'll re-rack this interview in the queues, and we'll play it again at a future date. So thank you so much. We appreciate you. When you talked about Because He Lives, sitting right in front of me in the queues of about 5,000 songs with Matt Mather, Because He Lives. I'm going to play that because you mentioned that song, Cindy. I'll play it right now in the system. So God bless you. Thank you for being here, and we'll talk to you real soon. And thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.